Welcome to Money Grows on Trees.
Money does grow on trees.
A podcast full of practical, real-life money lessons that you wish you learned in school. Lloyd is a former lawyer turned lifestyle entrepreneur. In each episode, he'll be answering the tough questions around money, investing, and entrepreneurship to help you transform your money mindset and move you closer to achieving your financial goals. Now, let the class begin. Here's your host, Lloyd Ross.
All right, welcome back to the show, Money Grows on Trees podcast. My name's Lloyd Ross, and the title of this episode is called Your Money Rules. What are your money rules? I actually can't believe I haven't done an episode on this because it's such a powerful, powerful lesson to implement when it comes to managing your money. Without rules, you won't have anything to follow. And if you can't, you don't have any boundaries when it comes to your money, you don't know what to follow, you have no rules, then you're going to be floundering and you're going to be off the rails, much like a teenager who has no rules at home. You'll find the keys to the liquor cabinet and you'll go out of control. So the whole idea of the money rules is to give you some guidelines that you create yourself, that you adhere to, that brings a level of consistency and structure and guidance to, you know, basically things to follow that you don't break, so that you can move your financial journey forward and your bank account forward, and you can increase and improve your financial IQ and effectively progress your money, right? So I was thinking, you know, it's been such a powerful lesson in our mentorship program, and I wanted to impart it to you on the show and just explain to you some of my rules and then encourage you to set your rules. Because once you do this, you basically set the culture of money in your house, you know, and then your kids can pick it up. It's something you can teach them. But it certainly gives you some rules to run by so that you don't feel you have something to guide you, so to speak, right? So I want to do this episode. I want to share with you my money rules. So your money rules can be a number. It doesn't have to be a specific number of rules. It can be whatever you decide, okay? And so I like to say that perhaps you have 10 money rules that you adhere to, okay? Now, when you write these down, think about them for your specific situation and set them in such a way that they're obviously achievable. And they're not going to confine you to a life of misery, of course. It's not about that. But something you can stick to. And the whole idea is to, once you have your money rules, you've got to follow them and not break trust with them, okay? And so myself personally, having these money rules has really helped me to make the right decision when it comes to spending small and large amounts specifically. And it'll dictate my actions and my behavior when it comes to spending in our businesses, the way I invest, how we spend money on leisure. And it just prevents us from slipping down the slope into debt and making all these mistakes, right? So the whole idea is not to make a lot of mistakes when it comes to your money. And if you have some guidelines, it'll just really help you. Okay, so I can't believe I haven't done an episode on this. It's such a powerful, powerful, powerful thing to do. So please get a pen ready and write down your money rules right now as to what you're going to stick to. And once you have them down pat, put them up in your house. Talk to your kids about them. You definitely talk to your spouse about them, because if your spouse doesn't know your money rules, then they're not going to understand what you're trying to do. So it's effective to do them together. Many in our mentorship program as couples do these together, and they do teach their kids. So I'll share with you some of my money rules, and then I'd encourage you to go and write your own, of course, right? So let me explain a few of mine and how they've helped me, and then you can go and do this yourself. So here's a few of my money rules. And again, 10 could be a good number. There's obviously a wide variety of things you want to put in place when it comes to your finances. There's not one hard and fast rule, but here's some effective ones that have certainly helped me. So ready? First one, I will always have more money coming in than going out. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But I'm very conscious of that. So I want to see almost every month, but certainly every quarter, I want to see more money in my bank account than what was in last quarter. Okay, you have to have a running tally of money going up in your bank account. Now, if that's not the case, you obviously got to cut your costs and increase your income. Okay, my next money rule is I'll only borrow what I can repay in full at any time. This is a huge one. This has actually prevented me getting a massive mortgage. Truly, it has. Have I borrowed money before? Yes. Do we currently have any debt? We have a small debt on our car. We chose to borrow the money against the car because I invested the money in the stock market and got almost 80% return in the last 3 years. So it's wildly better than paying 6% a year on that money. So it made sense to do that. But we can pay back that debt anytime. So it was easy to borrow the money. We're acquiring a business at the moment that's going to cost about $260,000 in debt, and I can pay that back anytime. So what I can't pay back is multiple millions in debt at the click of a button. I could probably pay back $3 million, but beyond that, I can't pay back debt like if I got a $5 million mortgage or something like that, it would be a challenge for me to pay that back in full any time. I could pay it back, but at the click of a button to pay that back in cash, that's the type of rule I've got in place and prevents me just biting off more than I can chew when it comes to debt, because I know that that's where I'll die if I go there, because I've been through the global financial crisis and things aren't rosy when there's a massive financial cliff that everyone falls off at the same time. So I'm prepared for that. So that's why I have that rule in place. The third rule is I will spend freely on things that either produce more money or save more time within reason, okay? But I like to spend on things that create more money and more time. I don't like to spend on things that create more problems and more decisions and don't produce anything, don't have an ROI, so to speak, okay? So that's why I don't spend on leisure things. I don't often buy multiple cars. I don't drastically spend on clothes. So if that makes sense, that's why I have that in place. The fourth one is don't get rich quick, get rich for sure. This has helped me massively too, because it's very easy, especially through social media, to get carried away with keeping up with everyone else and to look rich instead of being rich. And I definitely don't want to look rich, I want to be rich. And so that doesn't mean look like a homeless person when you go outside, but it just means that get rich for sure. So do it slowly over time, then doing it quick. Okay, you can still rapidly accelerate your success over, say, a 5 and 10 year period by, you know, really firing up your business and really investing and getting forward and taking some risks. But you don't have to do it too fast, okay? That will kill you. The next rule I have is invest for cash flow and capital growth, okay? So it's not just one or the other. It's invest for cash flow and capital growth. So our investments in our businesses and in our stocks, in our portfolio, they produce cash flow either as a business itself or as actually giving a dividend cash flow too, right? So you get paid cash as well. And also they grow in value. So the capital growth goes up too. It's not one or the other, it's both. And that's this particular money rules prevented me buying things like Bitcoin and gold that don't produce cash flows, okay? So it's against my rules to do it. That's why you'll never see me do it. The next rule is keep it simple and scalable. I can't begin to tell you how important it is to keep your finances simple. It boils down to everything. Like we have one car with a small loan on it. We have one apartment we rent. We have one investment strategy. If you go back and listen to the previous episode, I talk about financial strategy. We don't bite off more than we can chew. Our businesses, we understand them. They're all very compatible with each other. They're very simple. They're not complex, and I could explain any investment I do with a crayon. And if you can't explain any investment you do with a crayon in one sentence, you should probably avoid it. So we keep things simple, but we keep them scalable, meaning they'll scale beyond our time over time. So I wouldn't want to get into a side hustle that just produces a bit of cash for me. I don't work hard for money. I work hard to build systems that create money. And that's probably the biggest difference between us and others, is that we want to scale things. So when we started network marketing, we knew it could scale beyond our time, which it has. We knew when we invested in stocks, they could scale beyond our time, which they have. And what else? Our businesses, yeah, same, right? Everything we touch, really, when it comes to making money, is not just about working hard to make money. I have done it, though. Like, for example, recently I got paid to do a keynote speech, and that was working for money. And I don't get in the habit of doing that much. It's just, you know, here and there I'll do it, but very few and far between, okay? The next rule I have is I will only invest in things that have limited downside but a limited upside. So heads I win, tails I don't lose too much. That comes from a wonderful book by Manish Prabhia called The Dando Investor. But I'll only invest in things with limited downside. Like if I invest in something and it fails, I don't get killed, right? That's what I mean by that. And that's why I avoid massive amounts of debt. That's why I avoid things that don't produce cash flow and I can't value. So if I can't value something, like I can't value gold and I can't value Bitcoin, okay? You can see the price every day, but the price is not the value. So I avoid those things, okay? And so, I look for the downside in things. So we're acquiring a business at the moment and the downside is that, yeah, if it completely falls, completely goes pear-shaped, it doesn't kill me. Okay, so heads I win, so that hopefully that happens. Tails I don't lose too much. So you can sometimes lose, okay? And that's okay, it's part of the journey. Don't ever be worried about losing a bit of money. Be worried about not taking a chance to develop your wealth. Like you're gonna probably lose here and there a little bit, as long as you don't lose massively. Like don't put yourself in a position where you can literally go bankrupt and be wound up, liquidated. Don't put, you know, have a small amount of diversification, not massive. I'm not a big proponent of diversification where you just buy everything and it doesn't make sense. So yes, that's an important lesson. Oh, this I've only got three left. Okay, these are my money rules. You can take these and use them if you want to, but you got to come up with your own because it will guide you. It will prevent you making catastrophic mistakes. And here's my last three. I will never spend money before I have it. This is big, obviously. Like, how can I explain this one? Again, it's kind of similar to like, I'll never borrow what I cannot repay in full at any time. So we have the money to be able to pay for things. So I'll spend money on certain stuff because we have the money already. But if I didn't have any money, you wouldn't see me get into massive amounts of debt to buy something I couldn't afford. It just wouldn't happen. Okay. The next one, I will play wealth games before status games. This has helped me a lot. This is why you haven't seen on my profile yet. I haven't bought a Lambo or a Ferrari. Not to say those things are bad. I love sports cars. Cool. But wealth games are quiet. They're not that noisy. And wealth games don't create envy in other people. And so status games do that. So like, for example, if I play a status game, it'll incite envy in other people's and they'll become envious. And I don't really want people to be envious. I want them to learn. I want them to be, to have good wealth principles to follow, to actually get results and not look like they're getting results, if that makes sense, right? So people can either have an inner scorecard or an outer scorecard. And if you have an outer scorecard, typically you measure your success on the externalities of what you have, so material things that show that you're successful. Whereas when you have an inner scorecard, it doesn't matter what you look at on the outside as long as you know what's on the inside. And you can never know what's going on in someone's business or bank account or bedroom. And so you cannot judge people for what they look like. You have to know really what's going on the inner game. It's called inside. One of my old business coaches calls it inside baseball, where you really know what's going on the inside of the game. So if I play wealth games, it's like wealth is slow. It's not exciting. Typically, people don't see a lot of the games I play because they're not entertaining. And wealth doesn't have. It's pretty well not usually that entertaining. It's usually that entertainment is typically status games. And you can follow them if you want to. You can play status games if you want to as well. I'm not saying that status doesn't play a role in wealth. It can certainly do that to influence others for sure. But I prefer to play wealth games rather than status games. My scorecard is an inner scorecard. I don't have an outer scorecard. Okay, so that just guides me on. And I say to myself, am I posting this because it's valuable to other people and I want to help them move forward? Or am I posting this because I'm showing off and I'm creating envy and it's just a status play? And I really am conscious not to play status games. Okay, you might be different, but that's one of my rules. So the final rule is this: I'll always pay myself first. That one probably should go first because it's such a powerful rule. And I always make sure that we're paying ourselves every quarter. It's like, let's say I do my taxes, I'll make sure I pull off a certain amount, pay myself first, so put into investments, then we pay the tax office, and then so on and so forth. We have some money left over for our lifestyle. So every quarter when we do an audit, we pay ourselves first, okay? And then we pay the tax office, our BAS and our tax, and then we have some left over for lifestyle, and that's how it goes. So depending on how much you set aside to pay yourself first, you can build massive amounts of wealth. But most people pay themselves last. And so a lot of my students that have their money rules, they've said that this is arguably one of the most powerful rules. And if you want to pay yourself first, it means every time you get paid a certain amount of money, no matter how much money it is, you set aside 10% and put it in a separate account or you put it into your investments and that's you covered for the future. That is very powerful. That's why it should probably go first. But they're 10 of my money rules. And they may change in future. I haven't revisited them for a long time. They seem to work for me. And these are my values too. Like if you roll through this list, you'll see my values. I really value freedom and choice and independence over almost anything else. And so these rules are designed to create that for me. And so your rules will be designed to create whatever it is you want from your wealth. And if you don't want those things and you want other stuff, then by all means, create your rules. But don't create them arbitrarily and don't create them just because I've done these ones and you don't have to follow my rules. Create them for what you want and what's going to help you, because I can tell you what, having these rules has saved me from catastrophic decisions. Like I'm talking like if I had done some decision that these rules weren't applied to, I'd be in a real bind now. So if you want a real inner baseball strategy that I follow, it's my own money rules. Okay. So it's a big part of money management and financial strategy and how you're going to really design a life that you love by having some rules in place. And I got to tell you, when you set the financial culture of your household and you're in charge of that and you create fun and money and thrift and
you know, earning more than you spend and doing all these real, these are biblical aged money principles, okay? And I would have to say that most wealthy people would follow similar rules to this in some respects, but they're not hard and fast. You decide. But I will say that you can pass this on to your kids. And I think what a wonderful gift to pass on to your children, this wisdom of, hey, I'm going to teach you how to write your own money rules in the future. It will set the path for them. And they'll pick up some of your rules and make up some of their own as they go, but at least they'll have some. You know, could you imagine, as I said earlier in the episode, imagine if you didn't have any rules as a kid. You know, you've seen it. What happens to kids when they have no rules? They grow up into absolute spoiled brats and they're just all over the place and they just get wrecked. And you don't want that. You don't want a sense of entitlement. You don't want to wreck yourself financially. You want to have these rules so you don't go off the rails. And that's just the most important thing. And so, hope that episode has been helpful for you. If you've enjoyed this one and you want to go and write your rules, please do that. But also share the episode with a friend who can really listen to this, and it's going to help them a lot. And of course, thank you for those who have written a 5-star review for us. I appreciate it. We're well over, I think, 125-star reviews. It'd be awesome to get 1,000 5-star reviews for the show. So if you're enjoying the show, you're getting value from this, please share it. Please leave us a 5-star review. And I think you can even leave comments now on Spotify under each episode. I think you can even do it on Apple. But if you want to leave a comment on the show, do that. And of course, if you share this to your Instagram and tag me in it, at Lloyd James Ross, I will reshare it to my feed and give you a shout out. If you want me to do a show specific to a topic that you want, then hit me up on Instagram and say, Lloyd, I'd love you to do a topic on this. I'm confused about XYZ. And I'll come and I'll do a topic and I'll give you a shout out for actually giving me that topic. So got some awesome topics to come. Going to regale you with the inner workings of Ty Lopez. We did an event with him last week in Sydney. I'm currently in Queenstown away at the moment for Easter, but I want to come in and explain to you some of the cool things I learned from Ty Lopez, who has like $800 million, I think, coming in income from his businesses. I'll explain a bit about him for you and what we learned from him doing an event in Sydney last Saturday. So got some really fun stuff coming up and a few guests lined up this year as well. So thanks for listening to the show. Hope you've enjoyed this episode, and I'll talk to you on the next episode of Money Grows on Trees podcast.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Money Grows on Trees podcast. If you like the show, you might want to check out our book, Money Grows on Trees, which you can find at LloydJRoss.com. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a review, and feel free to reach out to Lloyd on Instagram at LloydJamesRoss.